Amen. As we come together on this morning, thanking God for the many blessings that He has given us, the strength to get out of bed on this morning, to be able to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The title of the lesson this morning is Judge Rightly. Judge Rightly. As we think about judging, there are many times where individuals will come to us or say back to us as we go to them, "Who are you to judge me?" Or, "Only God can judge me." Amen. And even, "Have you looked at your own life lately?" I believe that when we consider the scripture that was read, Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, we find that many people will just look at verse 1 and they will say that we cannot judge them. But quickly they will turn right around and judge you, tell you what you are doing wrong. Well, I want you to know on this morning that even when you tell someone that they're doing right, you're judging. But how many of us would tell someone when they come to you and they congratulate you or they lift you up when you're doing something right, how many of you would say, "Don't judge me"? I believe that we welcome that. And we want more of that. Well, I want to say this morning that if you see me doing something wrong, come to me, judge me, get me right, save me. Do whatever you have to do in order to get me to understand that what I am doing is wrong. And I'm going to use the other on this morning when somebody, maybe nobody, I don't know, but if somebody come to the back as I'm standing back there, and they tell me that I've done a good job on today, I'm going to say, "Don't judge me." But, you know, I am glad when someone tells me that. It makes me feel good. Sometimes it makes me think that you are listening to what is being said. Amen. And that you're putting those things into practice. But judge rightly. Judge rightly. In, again, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 1, Matthew 7, verse 1, that's where we're starting, and we're going to go from there. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now look not just at verse 1, but look at verse 2. I believe that we need to understand that as we're judging people, that finger that you're pointing, you remember the old saying as you were taught, you have three pointing back at you, sometimes four, it all depends on how you're pointing, the thumb is coming backwards as well. So we have to know that there is a mirror there, or it is deflecting what we're saying right back to us. So he says in verse 3, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Well, first, I want us to know that as we think of such a scene here, that is hard to see the speck in your brother's eye when there's a log in your own. A big old beam coming out of your eye, and here you are trying to help somebody else out. All you're really doing is hurting them. We've turned so many people away from Christ because of our criticizing what they're doing. Beating them up. You know, a lot of people, they don't want to see some of us coming because when we come to them, all we come into them is talk about Bible to them. Beating them up with the Word of God because they're doing something wrong. And what we have done is we have forgotten where we have come from, or maybe even where we are now. We need to open our eyes. And we need to get the beam out. And that's exactly what the Word tells us. It says in verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log, the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So can we judge our brothers? Yes. Is it necessary to judge our brothers? Yes. But within judging them, ensure that your life is right. Now, there are some that say, well, we can't ever tell anybody what to do or what not to do. If that's you saying that, shame on you. Shame on you. You're doomed. You're destined for hell. But don't act like that. Don't say that. Get your life in order that you may be able to help out the next man. We ask people sometime, or someone may come to us and say, I'm praying for you. And we look at them and we say, no, don't pray for me. Pray for yourself. Get your life in order. Or you may say, I can't pray for you. Get your life in order that you may be able to pray for the next man. See, we have to look at our own lives when we start looking at the life of someone else. When we tell them that they need prayer, or we tell them they need Jesus, do we not need Jesus? Do we not need prayer? We have to get our lives in order. We have to look at this. So again, we have the right to judge others. We have the right to judge others. We're not going to John 8 just yet. We're going to get there. But in Matthew chapter 7. I'll catch up with myself in just a minute. Jesus speaks here and he says these words. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Talking about judging and considering the words of our Lord, he says the one that hears these words is like the one who builds his house on a rock. So there are times where we ignore what Jesus says. We ignore the ideal of getting the beam out of our own eye in order to help our brothers out. How many of you need help? How many of us need help? How many of us even want help in order to be that person that God wants us to be? Well, there's a lot of fixing up we need to do, isn't it? There's a lot of correcting that we need to do. And it is necessary that we do this correction. It's necessary that we get our lives in a way that God can look down upon us and he said, that is one of my servants right there. I'm pleased with what he or she is doing. Go and get that person right, because your life is in order and you're ready to stand before the judgment throne on that great day because you're living the way God wants you to live. See, we have a responsibility to one another. And the responsibility is great. that we may look at someone else's life because our life is right, and that we may be ready to say, you are wrong and you need to get right. Look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul, an apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not walking with Peter, not walking with the other disciples, but ready here to tell him, Peter, that you're wrong. You know, Peter, you know, could have looked at him and said many of things. Paul, you weren't even at the feet of Jesus. Paul, you didn't go through what we went through. You didn't experience what we experienced. You wasn't there at the crucifixion, you know, standing for what was right. You know, Peter couldn't even say that, really, in a good heart, could he? Because he's the one that denied Christ three times. But here, Paul, telling Peter that he was wrong. It says in verse 11 of Galatians 2, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. What did Paul say again? I withstood him to his face. You know, we quick to pass judgment on people today, but we're not ready to tell them to their face, are we? We talk about them behind their back. We go to somebody else and we say what he or she is doing. And there you are witnessing this thing, but yet you don't want to tell the person they're doing wrong. But soon as you get away from them, you're calling somebody else. But some of us don't even wait, do we? We don't call. We just looking at that person in their face and we just steady texting. You know what he or she had the nerve enough to do? And if that person is texting you and telling you that, you say, are you with them right now? If so, tell them. If so, turn your phone around and let them see what you're saying about them. Paul said again, I withstood him to his face. You remember when some of us were little? And some of you can still experience this today. Wherever you show out is where you get worked out. That's what Paul did to Peter. Peter showed out right there, and Paul worked him out right there. And that's what some of us need. We need somebody to get us right where we are. Come here, let me talk to you. No, don't. Tell them, come here, let me talk to you away from whoever they're showing out in front of. Get them right there. Why? So they may learn not to do the things that are wrong. Judge rightly. Paul had every right to do what he did. The scripture that I wanted you to see earlier in John chapter 7, verse 24, we are going there. John 7, 24, because a lot of times we're looking at the outward appearance, where we should be looking at what this person is doing from the heart. From the heart. And that's what it says here. In John chapter 7, verse 24, do not judge by appearances, but judge with a right judge. How many people have shown you their hearts? Shown you exactly who they are and why they're acting the way they're acting? Then you have every right to judge them. You have every right to tell them that you are doing what is right or you're doing what is wrong. We need to look at it. And again, Jesus does say, you know, those that hear these words, it's like the one that builds his house upon a rock. But I believe there are a lot of people that hear these words, but yet they go away and they forget what they hear and they do what they want to do. They act the way they want to act. But we need some people, not just like Peter, but we need some people that are willing, or not just like Paul, but we need some people like Peter, but like Paul. We need some people that are willing to go to the next man when he see him doing something wrong and get him right. Help him out. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. You know, we're quick sometimes to say, oh, I didn't see that. And you turn and you go a different direction. You don't want to get involved. That's his fight. That's her fight. They got themselves in. Let them get themselves out of it. Sometimes that person can't get themselves out of it. They need some help. I remember the time this lady and man was on the side of the road and they was arguing. I turned around and I went back and I asked them, did she need some assistance? Because she was the one that was getting the best of it at this time. But I'm pretty sure later when they got home, he got the best of it. I don't know, though, do I? So what did I do? I just went and passed judgment on somebody that I have no idea what went on when they got home. But I do know that the woman started telling me while I was there what was going on. And then the man started explaining himself as well. And then he called himself and he said, why am I explaining to you? Basically, mind your own business. And I didn't mind my own business. I went ahead and I called the police officers, you know, the police station, told them what was going on and where it was going on. I wanted to make sure that the lady did not get herself hurt. But I want us to know that when we see our brothers, our brethren in trouble, that we need to go to them and we need to talk to them, try to save them. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of meekness. Now look at that again. Because some of us don't have the right to talk to somebody about their situation. Because we're just as wrong as they are. But Paul writes it again. He said, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, keep watch. Should restore him in the spirit of gentleness, but keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. But each will have to bear his own load. Bear his own load. I want us to know that as Paul is writing to the church of Galatia here, and he is telling them some very good information. He's giving them some good information, some very good advice, something that's going to save them. That look at your own life first. Stay being the person that God wants you to be. Be ready to help out the next man. So when you see him or her in a fault, you can go to them and you can save them. You're looking at your life and you're saying, this situation, I can't get involved in it because I know myself. I know what I've gone through and I know what you know my weaknesses are. So let me pick up my phone now. Let me call somebody that can help me. And when you call on that person should be ready. Because you're calling on someone that you know that is spiritual. You're not calling on someone that's weak, someone that has fallen away. You're calling on someone that's being steadfast, somebody that's being faithful in order to help you out to get this other person straight. And that's what we need. We need to judge rightly. So a lot of times we are like the Pharisees and we're quick to judge somebody, not knowing the whole situation. Maybe you've seen somebody down on the corner down there. And that person was on that corner in order to help out the next man on the corner. He wasn't participating in what was going on, but he was down there trying to help out the next man. And you were like, hey, such and such was on the corner down there. I wonder what he was doing. Stop and ask him what he is doing. He may need your assistance. He may be participating in what's going on down there, and you know that he's a brother. You've caught him in a transgression. Help him out. Help him out. You see me on that corner down there, you can rest assured I'm not participating in what's going on. But then again, I might be. Stop and help me. Don't talk about me. Stop and help me. Don't call Anita. Stop and help me. Hey, don't go down the road and call me, because I probably won't answer the phone, because I'm busy doing one or two things, right? Come back. Give your assistance. And I may tell you, hey, we got one here that's ready to be obedient unto the gospel. Or I might tell you, mind your own business. Whichever the case may be, I or you may need assistance. So let's do what's right. Let's judge rightly. Let's judge rightly. You know, when we find this individual that's caught up in a fault, when we find this individual not understanding what the truth is all about, what we need to do now is we need to rebuke them. A lot of people say, you know, he or she is a new convert. Don't be so hard on them. Where do you find that in Scripture? Where do you find that? Don't be so hard on them. Take it easy on them. No, condemn them when they're doing something wrong. Condemn them. As Peter condemned Simon the sorcerer, condemn them. Tell them that you are not right. You need to change. And that's what Peter did here in Acts chapter 8, verse 21. Acts chapter 8, verse 21. I guess we need to go back up just a little bit. Because here Simon the sorcerer thinking that he can buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thought he could buy it. Peter says there in verse 20, but Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you. But you want to change those words? You want to say, Peter said, oh, Simon, I know that you are a new convert and you really don't understand. You can slide by this time. No. Simon learned a very valuable lesson on that day. And the lesson that he learned was, God does not play. His word is serious. His disciples, they don't mess around. And that's what he told him. He said, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right with God or before God. Repent, therefore. You know, that's what we need to be telling some people today, right? You need to repent. Because if not, you will perish. You know, Simon didn't look at Peter that day and say, well, Peter, you know, I know I thought that, but I didn't mean no harm. Or Peter, why are you judging me so harshly? Again, Peter said, repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours. And pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in a gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. You know, we serve a just God. And I'm going to tell you just how just he is. Remember going back to Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira lied to God, lied to the Holy Ghost, and they lost their lives? Now, these were not new converts here. These were individuals that should have known better. So, Peter didn't so much as take it easy on the Simon the sorcerer. But God didn't get involved in it either, did he? God didn't take their lives. Simon didn't fall down dead. Here, again, a learning experience. And the thing that that Simon learned, what many of us need to learn today, what many of us need to be teaching today, that repentance is necessary in order to get our lives in order, to be that person that God wants us to be. So judge rightly. The question was asked to Ananias and Sapphira, did you sell? And they lied. They had an opportunity to say, yeah, I did sell it for that amount, but this is all I'm giving. It was theirs. They could have done that. Amen. Judgment was passed. Sentence was given. And it was carried out. And here we find in Acts 8 that Simon the sorcerer had time to get his life in order. And he asked Peter to pray for him. And I believe that when we correct people, people need to ask the same thing. Not just pray for me, but pray with me. That I may be that person that God want me to be. Amen. And then we go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Because a lot of times we are doing things for the wrong reason. We're saying things that we should not say, or we're behaving in ways that we should not behave. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Now, quick, you know, Brother Ali, this is working out just fine. Brother Ali built this little thing up here and it's made out of glass. I know none of you, except for Dante, may have brought heels in. I don't know. But if you have a rock and you don't have any sin, throw it right now. Throw it right now. Oh, y'all don't have any rocks? Or y'all know that you all have sinned? See, that's what we need to realize, right? Amen. That we're no better than the next man. We have been baptized for the remission of our sins, but we're no better than the next man. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the thing that we need to realize that once we become children of God, that we need to understand that when we fall short, that we need to repent of those things so that we can be that person that God wants us to be. Here these men caught this woman in an act of adultery. And when they brought her before Jesus, many times we ask many questions concerning this. Where was the man? Why did they not bring him along with her? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe they stoned him and didn't stone her. I don't know. The Bible didn't say. But let's look at this. Let's read it. They went each to his own house. Here in Acts 8, or Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him. Now here Jesus is teaching them. And they bring this woman in that was called an act of adultery. And they said, teacher, this woman had been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? What do you say? Here's the master. That they're bringing this woman in and said, Moses commanded. The law of Moses commanded. Now, where did Moses get that law from? He got that law from God. That's God's law. Those words that Moses spoke to the children of Israel several times, not just one time, but several times, teaching them what the law said. When the law is read, so there would be no excuses. It said that the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Now they're just testing him now. You know what the law says. Why don't you carry it out? See, they wasn't really wanting to stone this lady. They were just trying to test Jesus to see where his mind was. Now, Jesus being the Son of God, he came to do the will of the Father. He came to speak the things that the Father would speak. So here's what happens. And they continue to ask him. He stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." The great master. Talking about judging rightly. Jesus knew them. Here's something that Jesus knew about these men. That they too were in sin. That they too had broken the law. They didn't do what the law commanded. See, these things that we look at today and these things that we examine from Scripture, many times, you know, these things did not go over a long period of time. They were carried out right away. But here they are taking time to bring this woman before Jesus, and Jesus telling them, "You who is without sin, cast the first stone." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Now, do you think this woman went right back and committed that sin that she was just saved from? She said, "Go and sin no more." See, a lot of times we want to condemn people. We want to judge people about what they used to do, where they have come from. You know, the Bible talks about Rahab the harlot. That's what she's, you know, how she's addressed. That's how she's identified, Rahab the harlot. Now, Rahab ceased being a harlot, but that's how she's identified as. Here, this woman caught in the act of adultery, that's how she's identified. The woman caught in the act of adultery. Didn't say that she was still committing adultery, but she was caught in the act. But Jesus said, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." So can we look at the lives of men and say, he or she is not the person they used to be? You ever heard of Ned the Wino? You know, we identify people what they used to do, but then when you say, you know, Ned DeWino was saved. Now, I'm just making that up because I don't know Ned DeWino. But he was saved. He's no longer a wino, but he can tell you what wine will do to you. He can tell you what wine will have you at, what wine, where it will take you, where it will leave you, how it will tear your homes up. Ned the Wino could tell you all of those things. But we had a man named Till that was a drunk. And Till made good sense from time to time. But I want us to know that we need to learn from people. Where people have been and where people are now. Don't judge me on my past. Judge me on the present. Now, if I'm still in sin, by all means, come to me and tell me about that sin. But if I'm ceased to doing those things, don't bring those things up. But what we do need to understand within this judging, that if you have not asked God to forgive you for that sin, or let me back up, if that sin has not been washed away, and yes, sin can be washed away for those that say it cannot. That's what was told to Saul. Saul standing by at the death of Stephen, consenting to that death. Saul dragging people out of their homes and even going and doing, wanting to do that in Damascus. Men and women dragging them out of their homes, putting them in prison. Sin can be washed away. Ananias told Saul in Acts 22:16, when Saul is reaccounting his conversion, Ananias said to him, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. See, when you come to Christ, you don't have to stand before us or any man and tell them, I've done this, I've done that, I've done all of these things. No, you come to Christ with the mind that I'm not going to do those things again, and you're baptized having those sins forgiven. Rise and to walk a newness of life. And then when you fall short, remember Acts chapter 8, verse 21 and 23, that somebody needs to correct you and you need to repent of those things and be that person that God wants you to be. So if you see me doing something wrong, let me know. If I see you doing something wrong, I'm going to let you know. Judge rightly. Judge rightly. Let's be the people that God wants us to be. If you're here this morning and you are not a child of God, if you have not come to Christ, if you have not confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, we encourage you. If you need to study, let's study. But if you just need to obey, obey. Come before the people that are here and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. Be the person that God wants you to be. Maybe you're here and you're falling short. Don't stay down. Get up, ask for forgiveness, and let's move forward. If you're here in your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.